I think five is technically right, but also technically wrong.
I am so checked out on whatever you just said.
Captain's Pod, Stardate 1910-25.1. Welcome aboard the Starship Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave from the world of CinemaSins to explore the universe of Star Trek. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always, she's here to partake in some empirical research. It's Ambassador Danae! Are you trying to remember what that is referencing?
Yes.
Yes. I can see on your face, like, huh.
Empirical research.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which character said it?
What show is this again?
Star Trek.
What country am I?
The Next Generation, yeah. Would you like to join me for some empirical research?
Oh, it's the person that was trying to see if Deanna wanted to do interspecies boinky doinking.
Yes, not for the record what I was implying in this instance. It just makes for a funny intro.
You don't think that I'm interested in interspecies boinky-doinking?
Not during this recording in an empty room where it's just you.
We have not actually identified aliens.
No, there's no... I mean, I can
and
see...
And I only own dogs and a cat. Yeah, you know, we're moving
yeah,
on.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, we're doing it. How are you doing this week, Ambassador?
Yeah, it's good. I have a lot to do. Do you want to come over and do my laundry?
No, absolutely not. So we're going to continue this week with our fan favorite submissions. Thank you, everyone, for sending them in on Blue Sky, Discord, email. I now have more episodes than we could. No, that's a lie. We could cover all of them. Keep sending them. Keep on sending them. I did want to say last week's episode, Timescape, was submitted on the Discords, I think, by Paulie. And this week's episode is a thank you to Badgie Combadge for one of their submissions, which is Relics, another one of my personal favorite episodes. I promise I'm not just picking them because they're my favorites too, but this one is up there. Ambassador, give us a very quick prediction just based on the vagary that is Relics.
Old stuff
happens.
Yeah.
What kind of old stuff?
Pottery.
Old pottery. Amazing. That's not that far off. We know Picard likes archaeology.
He does.
So
yeah.
Old pottery. That's your prediction.
That's my prediction because you made me do something specific.
I respect it. Let's head over to the holodeck to watch season 6, episode 4 of Star Trek Next Generation Relics. We'll see you in 10 forward for a full debrief. 2 to beam out. Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab something from the replicator and share our immediate thoughts and feelings on the episode we just watched together. Most important question first, what is your beverage of choice? And is it green?
That's the only beverage of choice in this one, right?
Saurian brandy, isn't it? I think that's what Picard said it was. When he necked it.
He sure did.
Aldebaran whiskey. Sorry, it's Aldebaran whiskey. Thank you, David Ellis, in the live chat. Yes.
Yeah, I think I tried to write it down really fast, but I didn't write it down really fast.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah, well, we can't have it replicated. Otherwise, wouldn't it come out all...
Oh, it would be synthahol. Which
synthaholicized.
It's conflicting because there's another episode of Star Trek where somebody from the past turns up, orders a martini, and they say, that is the best damn martini I've ever had. And yet Scotty comes along and is saying that synthahol is shit.
Well, so, if that person had only ever grown up having synthahol, then it might be the best martini that they've ever had.
No, no, no. This was a guy from like the 1960s that had been defrosted. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, give us a synopsis, Ambassador, before I start talking about a different episode.
Okay, so this is every engineer, Star Trek engineer loving, this is a dream.
It's their wet dream. It really is.
You love engineering, and if you love Scotty, and if you love LaForge, this is your episode. This is when you're going to feel the warm, fuzzy feelings of what makes Star Trek happy for you. Mm-hmm. If it is not, please do not watch this episode.
Buckle up.
And that is that. The only thing that you need to know about this episode, that's it. There is no other synopsis. Scotty appears because he was in a buffer, and it's just nothing but engineering after that.
Overall thoughts and feelings, was this the episode for you? Will it make your top 5 list?
top five not liked? Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
So, I don't know if it's top five not liked. It's definitely top five most mediocre feelings.
It's so strange. This is the first time I've watched this episode with an analytical eye. And while it's still one of my comfort episodes, it's still one of my favorites. It's not a good, well put together episode, which is why it fits in this category so perfectly, because it is just for a lot of us, it's a very comfortable, fun episode that ticks a lot of like, huh, what if this happened kind of episodes with like a lot of technical jargon and a lot of cool stuff. But as an episode of television, it's not very good. I will admit that. What was it overall that hit you? Was it the pacing? Was it the overall techno jargon? Was it the multitude of references? I've got some suspicions, but what didn't connect with you, Ambassador?
Ooh. So first of all, I'm usually pretty bold about my feelings, and I don't like, you know, I've come after a couple of characters that are fan favorites and it hasn't gone over well. And I just kind of like, hey, that's just how I feel. I'm super nervous about this one.
To be fair, this is not a great representation of Scotty. So don't feel bad about shitting on him.
It is the most nothing happens episode of Star Trek I've seen to date. This is literally just like, hey, we want to have this person come on to our show. How can we make this happen? Okay, he's stuck in a buffer and then he comes out and then he's just having this sort of crisis of a midlife crisis, an end life crisis, and in front of our very eyes, but then he's going to solve something and then the show is over. And that is what happens. Mm-hmm. But then you fill all of that with techno babble that I already check out on most of the time. But what I did is I actually tried to write as much down as I possibly could.
The actual techno babble?
Yeah, just because, just in case, you know, it came up and it was important, because maybe it's important to our conversation.
No, it never is.
I'm going to learn. So shut up, goddammit.
Have I ever explained how not important it is?
Oh, no.
I can't remember exactly when, but definitely from like, I think season four onwards, maybe the entire show, I can't remember. But this is from Ronald D. Moore himself, one of the writers. He said that there was a point where they didn't even write the technobabble themselves. It was dialogue and then literally in brackets, insert technobabble. And then it was sent to somebody else that would insert the random technobabble. And largely, there are some bits like transporter buffers, warp fields, there's stuff that's consistent. But when you've got the one episode stuff like duotronic phase inverters that's not likely to appear again, that there was just like, insert the blibbity blab techno babble here and then we'll move on, so the writers can focus on the story and not getting caught up in inverting the positron neutron flow. I was like, oh, that kind of killed a little bit of Star Trek for me when I heard him say that. So don't feel bad. Some of us love it, lots of people don't.
I think the idea is exciting because there's a way in this sci-fi universe to take characters that are beloved from the first show, TOS, and then bring them in. And we just watched one that had Picard and Scotty sing each other. I think it was the movie, right? We just watched the movie.
Yeah, we actually watched Generations over Christmas.
Yeah. And so I kept thinking about that one, which had a very similar vibe to it. And I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg here, but like in the movie, you have Kirk going onto a ship and then getting, also having that kind of feeling of not knowing where he belongs and potentially being able to be helpful, but not really knowing his place. And Scotty was there too. And then eventually, I guess Picard shows up because of the weird ribbon in the sky.
That is your synopsis of Generations, and that is all we will say.
So in that one, Picard had met Kirk. Had Picard met Kirk in this episode?
No, because Generations is the first TNG movie, and that happens. All of the movies happen after the show has finished. So this is way, way, way after. In Generations, Picard has already met Scotty, but doesn't mention that to Kirk. I guess they have other things going on. But right.
Well, they do. They're trying to save everybody, of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that, I kept thinking about that over and over again because it just has a very similar storytelling pattern, which makes sense. You know, you've got someone that's kind of taken their last lap around the starship and they're being nostalgic. That's why I think this episode would be really fun for somebody who is a massive fan of TOS and is so excited to see Scotty again. And this is probably just littered, plagued. Those are very negative sounding words. This is sprinkled with references to TOS that I'm probably going to be missing that make it charming. For me, it was obvious. Like there's one part that I really, really liked that he said. Let me see if I can find it in my notes here. I'll just try to go from memory. It was when Scotty and LaForge are on the shuttle and they're going to try to go save the Enterprise. And he says all of these, Scotty lists all these things that are wrong, that can't work. And then he says it'll take a week. And he says, we don't have a week. Let's get going. And just talks himself right back into fixing the problem. And I loved that because I felt like that's sort of what TOS sort of relied on. And it's almost like all of his dialogue was a reference to how things used to be on TOS. So I can see why this would be a lot of fans' favorites. And I don't want to shit on that. But the techno babble stuff, it was very hard to kind of pay attention. This is one I could listen to. I didn't have to watch. And I don't like that. I like to watch it.
So what I tapped into this time, where I completely agree with you, is the middle 25 minutes of this 45 minute episode are dead. They are absolutely dead. Like, it's exploring a kind of interesting thing with an older person suddenly thrust into the future, trying to find usefulness, but they really have to push Geordi to the limit of dickheadedness to get Scotty to a place where he's that upset and have the revelation talk with Picard. But the pacing of all of that is so slow. You've got Scotty in his quarters, and then Scotty in engineering, and then Scotty and Geordi solving a problem, and then Scotty in 10 forward, and then Scotty on the holodeck, then Scotty with Picard, and then Picard and Geordi. Then they get to the dang it, I should know the name of the ship, not the Magellan.
The Magellan.
It could be the Magellan. It's not the Magellan.
Oh man,
The Janolan. Thank you. They get to the Janolan and then the Enterprise is sucked in. That is such a lot of time where it's kind of uninspiring talking and scenes just kind of smooshed together. I think the greatest fix for this episode would be have the Enterprise sucked in after the cold open, so that all of that, like, Geordi's running this random diagnostic in engineering that has nothing to do with anything other than to get Scotty in the way. So why not have the Enterprise is sucked into the Dyson Sphere, it's in trouble, and that's the problem that Geordi is trying to work through when Scotty gets in the way. Like, and then you can intercut the scenes of the Enterprise getting sucked in, orbiting the sun, getting into trouble. You can have those punctuating the scenes of Scotty feeling sorry for himself. But this is Scotty appears, time with Scotty, problem. The actual episode doesn't start until 15 minutes from the end when the Enterprise gets sucked in. And that's, like, I can't disagree with you there. The pacing and structure is so all over the place. And I can only imagine it's to allow this to be a victory lap for Scotty. And, like, this is the last time we will see James Doohan as Scotty on screen, and I'm certain they knew that. He didn't pass away until about 10 years after this episode, but they knew he wasn't going to be in any more. Wait, no, sorry, he would have been in Generations, so that was the last time. But this will be the last time on TV that you see him. So yeah, I imagine a big function of it was, let's do a victory lap, let's call back to TOS, let's give the old school fans something they really, really love, which is something they weren't allowed to do at all in the early days of TNG. Like, it was, do not reference TOS. This is its own thing. It has to live on its own. You get one mention of Kirk, that's it.
I think that the temptation to recreate this episode is pretty high. Like, if I was going to do something with this character, I certainly would have the progression of solving this star Dyson Sphere thing way faster. I did look at the time at that point to see like, wow, okay, well, we're definitely over the halfway point and nothing is happening. So what is this episode really going to be about? Maybe it's just going to be a walk and talk episode, which is fine. But I would have loved to have seen Scotty get into the shuttle and then just get the fuck out of there and go off on a couple of little random adventures and then, you know, something kind of fun and crazy.
You kind of know that's how Lower Decks would do it.
Yeah, like you see him go off on some kind of adventure. You see Picard having to answer to some sort of person about why he sent Scotty off in a shuttle without notifying Starfleet that he had been refound.
Like, yeah, right. By the way,
does he have family? Did he have children? Maybe he wants to meet if he has any family members that are still alive. Like maybe his buddies are obviously not around anymore, but maybe he could go visit some of them. That would have been kind of fun to see. But this is what we did, and it's okay. And yeah, I think it tries to hit those high points. It kind of felt like when you were describing all the different places, like Scotty is over here, Scotty is over there. This is what it would be like if you had like a dollhouse, but the Enterprise version of a dollhouse, and you had like a little Scotty action figure, and you're just like,
yes,
now Scotty's going to be over here, and now Scotty's going to be over here. Just kind of
and then somebody bought the original series bridge add-on to the dollhouse. I was like, you know, it would be fun if we put him in there as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to make that as a little artificial segue into talking about some stuff that you did like with the episode. Can you pick out anything that did make you go, ooh, or like, that was fun? Like, I'm picturing maybe seeing the original bridge in this context and seeing Picard on the bridge, or maybe not, or maybe the Enterprise flying around. Anything?
So there were two things that, and one was already mentioned, the Scotty thing, but it's so stupid. This is so stupid, but I really like this part at the very, very beginning when they're going to go beam onto the shuttle. And I don't even think that Riker had said Worf with me yet, but Worf just points at this ensign like you, and then just walks out. And I don't know why that cracked me up so hard, but it did. And I wrote it down. This might be Worf points to someone and walks out. Might be my favorite part of the show so far. And that was on the first 5 minutes. Aww. And that kind of kept up with it. And, like, literally, this is just not built for me because I have so little experience with TOS that the only thing I know about Scotty is just the caricature of Scotty, like his sayings and kind of what he's about. And as he kind of blunders his way through the ship, I'm watching how Geordi is treating him and how Scotty is treating the ship, and like the ownership that Scotty immediately takes of, and just like poking around, not thinking like at all that he could be doing damage or something that he can't fix. Like,
yeah.
And I do like the two of them kind of coming back together and having their bonding time on the shuttle. I feel like give me like 20 years. And just like I am now starting to watch Murder, She Wrote, now, like, this will be my Murder, She Wrote when I'm in my 70s or something. Like when it's on repeat after I've watched TOS over and over and over again, and I'd be like, oh, I finally can appreciate this episode. But for where I am right now in my Star Trek canon, I'm not really connecting to anything that was like, oh, that was really fun. Like, not even, I guess the little shuttle on the surface of the spherical thing, kind of like the model that they did was interesting. The idea of a star inside of a sphere was interesting, but we spent so little time doing that, that when you first kind of go into that sphere, you can see maybe like lakes and mountains that are on the interior of the shell around the star. This idea of the magnitude of it. And I was writing all that stuff down thinking, wow, 250 million class M planets can, that's a big statement. 250 million class M planets can fit inside this thing. That's, and I am still confused about like, why wasn't it work? Why didn't it work? Was it because the star started to implode? Like at the point we got to the part where this civilization is missing, that was so interesting to me. I want to go make this an archaeological episode, beam down somewhere. Let me see what's gone on. What did they leave behind? That's the relic that I was thinking it was going to be. I was thinking we were going to be looking through like archaeological stuff and kind of like discovering an alien thing. And instead it's like, look at this old depressed Scotty not doing anything except for feeling sorry for himself and fucking things up. And then eventually giving a pep talk. Like that was, it was just a bummer. He was having a bad day and I got to watch him have a bad day. And that was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah. You did get to watch the entire bad day. It's the kind of like stuff you need to explore over like an entire arc, but this has got to get him through his journey in 40 minutes. Like he's got to be discovered, really unhappy, and then happy again super duper quickly. Like I get like jumping into the future and suddenly finding that you're out of date, but like have a little bit of self-awareness that things might have changed in 75 years instead of shouting at Geordi that, oh, this is out of alignment and your 3% margin of error is wrong. Like, yeah, there's a good chance things changed. On the Dyson Sphere thing, that is my biggest nitpick with the episode. It's that, like, it's something that's stuck in my head since the first time I saw this as a very wee laddie. And that the Dyson Sphere is so fucking cool. And the fact that it's a real, like, thought experiment from a real person. They didn't make it up. It was about Dyson Freeman in 1959 posited the idea of the Dyson Sphere. And then that's a really cool thing for Star Trek to do, is to take this real science fiction hypothesis thought experiment and then make an episode out of it, except they haven't. They still haven't made an episode out of it because there is so little touched upon with the idea of a Dyson Sphere. It's one of like my number one things I'd like Strange New Worlds to explore, is I'd like them to find one and actually do an episode about it. Like, you don't need a big concept like that when Scotty is your actual big concept of the episode. He's your conceit and the thing that you need some kind of anomaly for him to deal with, but it doesn't need to be this awesome Dyson Sphere thing that is just like, the scale of it is mind-boggling. It's insane. See, I've always felt a little bit, like the chat has said, a little bit robbed of that Star Trek episode that could be dealing with a Dyson Sphere.
I did think of something that I did think was interesting because we've watched some of the TOS, is when Scotty clocks Worf. That was fun.
It's so fun.
This idea of, and Scotty is like, I think he sort of got his jaw on the floor and Worf's looking at him like, okay. And then Riker kind of smirks like, I get the joke. And he says something.
I understand
why
this is awkward.
Perhaps there's a few things to talk about. And I'm thinking, yeah, like why the Klingons have looked different than what they look like in TOS, because I know that they look different. So that was sort of a thing.
So during the movies for TOS, they do have the ridges. So Scotty would have seen Klingons like this. But that's never acknowledged, why the Klingons suddenly change. In the TOS movies, it's not acknowledged. It's not mentioned until way, way, way later. But yeah, it's the fact that, like, yeah, he's in uniform. And I do love at the end of the episode, everybody does like the handshake and the ladies get a kiss goodbye. But then with Worf, he just, don't invite Worf to the goodbye. Don't bring him. Like, they just awkwardly almost chest bump each other, like shoulder check each other. And then he just walks off.
I thought that was kind of clever. I'm looking through my notes to see if I can think of anything else that I thought was kind of fun.
There's this comparison that's just jumped into my head, which this is almost a Lower Decks episode before it was ready to be a Lower Decks episode, because like the references, there are so many catchphrases and callbacks, like more than any other episode of TNG. Like Spock appears in TNG and there's nowhere near this much that happens. Dr. McCoy has a brief appearance in the first episode and there's barely anything. But he straight up starts talking about episodes of TOS like Boimler would. Like it felt very much like Boimler reciting. And then there was this time where we had to do a cold start of the warp core engine, and then you remember how Scotty had to like completely rewrite how you do an engine startup, and it's just Scotty talking to camera. And the whole it's green thing, that's a callback to an episode of TOS where Scotty is off his face, like something has happened and the crew's gone loopy. I cannot remember what episode it is. Might be Journey to Babel, but I can't remember. But basically, he's completely smashed, and someone's like, what are you drinking? And he looks at it, and he's just like, it's green. And that's all he knows about it.
That's a bummer,
and
a bit.
Data somehow does the same thing. Yeah. So, and it's just, it's endless. Most of the dialogue is callbacks to TOS.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really interesting because it was obviously new for Star Trek to do that because it's old enough to now be self-referential, but it went over the top. Like, there wasn't the same restraint that we're kind of used to. So I kind of forgive it because it was so rare. It's like pretty much the only time I can think where we really see them go ham and just say, you know what? Get him to say you can't change the laws of physics. Put in every Scotty line that you want and we'll just put it in there. Even the miracle worker stuff. It's like anything you want to do, don't worry about doing anything super original. Just do all of play the hits in this episode. Which, by the way, sounds like I'm shitting on it, but I love that. I love this episode so much. Those callbacks work for me for the exact reason they don't work for you, because I'm familiar with it. Seeing Scotty play with my TNG characters is enough for me. Seeing Picard on the bridge of the original Enterprise is an all-time burned into my brain moment forever. Like, why didn't the whole episode take place on the bridge of the original Enterprise? I don't know. It's really cool to see him walking around that original bridge, talking about it. You get the original sounds in as well. I mean, even getting the original transporter beam at the beginning of the episode, like, that sound comes out of nowhere. Like, you don't really know how old the Janolan is. So when the TOS beaming starts, I'm like, oh, it's the old transporter. Oh, it's still good. It's the wrong one because they've moved on from that transporter by the time Scotty is the age that he is, but it doesn't matter. It's still cool.
Yeah.
And that incoherent rambling is how I feel about this episode.
Yeah. I think there are some really good dialogue things happening too. The hard part about an episode like this is in between the engineering techno babble are some other positive moments that I liked. When LaForge and Scotty are on the shuttle and LaForge is going by the books that Scotty wrote, and Scotty is like, well, if you do this and this, then it's fine. I wrote that, but there's other ways around it. And LaForge kind of agrees. And then LaForge ends up also saying that just because something is old doesn't mean that it's useless, essentially. So there's some, you know, fun things happening. I liked them together problem solving on the shuttle. I think getting there was a little bit difficult.
Completely
and even
agree.
And even Picard kind of pulling in the two of them and saying, hey, LaForge, will you babysit for us? You know, we just got to give this guy a win. So can you take him out and pretend like you don't know what you're doing for a little bit and make him feel better about himself?
I kind of like that because it shows like another side of Picard. Like it's a very delicate form of coaching and teaching that Picard does. Like, and he has this reverence and being closer to Scotty's age than Geordi is, I think.
Yeah.
He can kind of understand that and he has that wisdom.
I think if we started off there and almost instead of having some of the dialogue back and forth on the ship would get us to the action a little bit more. But I don't think that was the point of this episode. Like
it
you
really
said,
wasn't.
I think it was meant to be giving him as much as they could give him that would be fun for him of this sort of remembrance. And it does have a bit of a payoff too in that at the end when Scotty is talking to LaForge, he's saying, how does he word it? It's talking about this is like the best time of his life. Enjoy these times. It's a time that will never come again. When it's gone, it's gone. And I couldn't help but wonder if that's also the actor, you know, saying these
100%.
Words, yes. Which kind of makes me feel emotional because having watched, you know, Picard, the last season of Picard, and kind of watching the actors really bring to life these characters, likely knowing that it's not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. They're giving something to the fans that is really, really special. And that is appreciated. So that's not, I don't want to overlook that. Mm-hmm. It's just that kind of those moments are sandwiched in between, you know, okay. It's like whenever I get a club sandwich, I immediately begin to dissect the sandwich and take out the dry bread in between all the good stuff because I don't need the dry. I don't need that much bread.
But just get it as a sandwich then.
But they don't have that sandwich in the menu. They don't have. I got to order the BLT.
I forced a club sandwich onto you, and you've had to pick out the dry bits of bread that you don't want in this analogy. Yes. Yeah.
But you know what? It's still something that I ate and it was fine. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So this isn't one that didn't make me mad. It just was one that I could check out too. And that makes it a little bit hard to talk about on a show like this, especially in the season where we're hitting the fan favorites. And I can see why it is a fan favorite. Yeah. So I don't want that to be something I focus too hard on.
No, it's a really, really interesting one. It's like, I can't objectively say it's a good episode of TV, but for me, it's a great episode of Star Trek if you're like really buried into the nerdery of it. And I think this is why it hits people so well, especially if you love technobabble. And that Venn diagram of people that really, really like have consumed so much Star Trek and also love technobabble is... there's a lot of overlap there, and you get to see Geordi and Scotty, the two most iconic engineers in Star Trek. I guess even looking back, they were the only two, really. But even now looking back, they are, I think, still the two most iconic engineers. Getting to see them play together is a gift for the future as well. Like, we always get to look back, and it's just like I said at the top of the show, it's one of those what if scenarios where I would always be thinking, man, if I was making my dream crew, wouldn't it be fun to see Geordi and Scotty play together? And you get that for the last 15 minutes of the episode. Yeah. Most of it is Geordi being a dick, but for he's being an absolute ass to the best engineer in the entire universe that we know of.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of felt for LaForge in a way.
I'm like, not saying I would have acted differently, but I would have also been a dick in that situation and would have been happily called out for it.
Yeah, I don't know how those scenes would have gone differently, but when Scotty had when he had his mind to go down to engineering and just fuck around, oh, this percentage is wrong, and he pushes it. The board's like, okay, but that was for a reason. And what if he had just, like, how funny would it have been if he did, like, he initiated like a saucer separation?
Oh my god, it would be amazing. I mean, he does just open the dilithium core, and I'm like, whoa, surely you can't just do that. What? But I do like, it's the only time you see Geordi do like a frustrated punch of a control, and it's really kind of cool. It kind of got me going because Scotty says something, alarm starts going off, and Geordi just does this subtle fist on the table, and it stops it. And I was like, oh Geordi, yeah, you're showing up.
When you have a toddler running around inside, yeah, like, I want to touch that. I want to touch it. I want to do this. Let's I can go. Do that.
Oh my goodness.
My mom said I could be down here and do whatever I want. And they're just like touching shit and you can't do anything about it. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to be like, where do I put all this frustration? And for him, he got upset. He actually like got upset.
It's like when I'm allowed into Aaron's studio and I start pressing everything and he has to mentally do the same thing.
And you're like, wow, I haven't seen Aaron clench his teeth like that before. Yeah. That's an expression of frustration.
He's making eye contact with me in a very unique way. That's new. There are some, it does give way to some of the most iconic lines in like the fandom memory as I'm like aware of it, probably because it was in like a few VHS trailers, but Scotty losing it with Geordi and just being like, I was rescuing I was driving starships when your great granddaddy was still in diapers, and put so many syllables into diapers. For some reason, that's in a trailer for season 6, I think, in a VHS that I remember watching. And it just like everybody that I've known, like, just loves that line reading. And James Doohan he embodies Scotty. He is Scotty. He gives the role everything. And this one is no exception. And the other line that's incredible, and this is one that is used all of the time, whenever the computer, especially now that we have computers that can talk to you, whenever they do something wrong, that delivery of no bloody A, B, C, or D, whenever a computer does something wrong, that is always how me, my mum, and my dad respond to it. Like in the early days of SatNav, when it would be like, that destination was not recognized, take us home, no bloody A, B, C, or D. And it's just, oh, it just makes me warm. I can't put my finger on why, but it's something that resonated with the fandom. Just like old man yells at holodeck because it won't show him the right enterprise.
Yeah, it was definitely giving angry old man. Which I wondered if it was kind of part of the vibe of the first of the of TOS. You know, maybe this is sort of because obviously in TNG we have the crew interacting with the computer differently. The ship does different things. Mm-hmm. We've kind of rethought how we think the future would be a little bit in some ways. And so Scotty's like being a bit of a sassy pants to his environment. And I kind of wondered, oh, is that sort of the vibe of TOS was just this kind of annoyance, like, okay, here goes the computer again, you know?
Oh, he was always an irritable Scottish stereotype, like all of the stereotypes. What's interesting is that this is as much an acknowledgement of where we are in the 90s compared to where we were in the 60s. So you would think by like the 2200s, misogyny and, oh, isn't she a pretty doctor? That's moved on by the 2200s, you would hope. But in the 1960s, when TOS was on TV, I mean, you could argue it wasn't much better in the 90s, but it was way more apparent in the 60s. So this is very much a look how our society has moved on from, like, that's really, really patronizing. And Beverly, not amused. Like, she kind of, like, gives a very wry smile to the comment, but she's overall not amused. So I think it's a little bit of, like, 20th century culture bleeding into, look how TNG is different from TOS as well, in the way that there's more equality now, and it's taken a step on from how women in Star Trek in TOS were largely the conquests for Kirk, and you would see some strong women, but it wasn't like the bread and butter. It wasn't the norm, whereas it was much better in TNG. So there's a bit of that leaks into it that feels a little bit odd to me, because we're meant to be hundreds of years in the future. So should there be that much of a difference really between Kirk and TNG?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Storytelling has definitely changed.
There's a couple of other moments I really love. I can't help it. I'm such a sucker for the Enterprise doing cool things. And all it is, Ambassador,
turning sideways,
is 45 degrees.
That's I knew it.
All it is the Enterprise does its thing. It flies towards a hole. And guess what?
It turns sideways.
It pivots 45 degrees. And the camera doesn't. And it fries. And I'm giddy. Yeah. I'm jumping all over the place. I'm like, let's go. Because it's so rare to see the Enterprise do anything like this. Like, the most excited I got before this was the Enterprise, like, I think it's escaping a Borg ship or something, and it, like, spins around, does a 180, and, like, zoom, Picard spins the saucer section around an asteroid in another episode, and it's so cool. Like, it's usually static, so whenever it does the tiniest abnormal move, I'm like, coolest thing I've ever seen. Ever. Full stop. Bar none.
Yeah, I guess they were trying to preserve it so they couldn't just blast the doors off of it, right?
Yeah, I know. I think they didn't have enough power to phaser anything, but they didn't even try. Yeah. But I have lots of scenes about their escape. But it does give the ingredients for a classic, we have an engineering problem, let's solve the engineering problem together. And you do get Scotty that's just like, trust me, I've spent my entire life thinking of crazy ways to do things, trust me.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Great line.
Like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go full on Hodor here.
Yes.
And we're going to just jam ourselves, we're going to wedge ourselves into this mechanism, and then we'll figure the rest out later. And LaForge is thinking to himself, I guess that's just A-okay with me. And they do that.
That's it. I get there could be safer ways to do this. Yeah. I'd like to think that Geordi had a very simple explanation, but humored him and went with the life-threatening one. And he was like, hey, if I go out, at least I went down with Scotty.
I guess so. I think they just put themselves back in the pattern buffer, maybe. Maybe.
Exactly. We'll just wait for the next person to rescue us.
R.I.P. Frank, or whatever his name was. Franklin.
It's another great Franklin. Line. Geordi's like praising him and saying, it's brilliant. How did you do that? And he's like, well, it was only 50% brilliant. That's just another line reading that just got me from like a very young age of, oh, that's true. Like an idea might only be as good as its end result. Like genius idea, but someone still died. It didn't work that well, did it?
It was a snap situation. Half of it's gone.
But imagine if it had been like half of each of them. And like when you materialize them back, it was like the top half of Scotty and the bottom half of Franklin. It was like, oh, this is dark.
No, his pattern was degraded to 53%.
Whatever made it back didn't last long.
Gross.
Anything else, Ambassador, before we move into some sins?
I think this would be a great episode to watch drunk. The end.
Agreed. I think, I think it goes quicker as well. What I wanted to do is end on a message from Discord from Brojum. P.S. Join our lovely CinemaSins Discord of the Captain's Pod channel at discord.gg/CinemaSins, who sent a message and it just kind of summed up how I feel about it as well. So I wanted to share it. You know, Relics might be my favorite ever episode of Star Trek period. So much to love. Extremely quotable. Some space mystery, engineer magic, TOS callbacks. There's so much good stuff crammed into one episode. What a delight. And that's how I feel about it. Like, and if you don't like or connect with those things, it's not going to work for you. But that it will always have a warm place in my heart. And it's one of those episodes where me and my dad are like, what do you want to watch? Should we watch Relics? Let's watch Relics. And it's inexplicable, and that's kind of the perfect summary of this theme as well. Ambassador, pips. Skipping you. I'm going to give this 3 pips. Ooh. Go on, Ambassador. You can pip it.
I'm going to give it 2.
I think that's generous.
Thank you. I'm a generous woman.
Yep. I will stick with 3 pips. Let's go ahead and do some of our silly sins. Battle stations, red alert.
Warning. Warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
This is the part of the show where we re-engage our sin brains, remind ourselves that no TV show is without sin, especially callback-filled episodes of Star Trek. Ambassador, would you like to go first?
I don't know why he has to be, Scotty has to be drunk when I don't think that you'd have to be drunk in this world. Like when they're going, so they're walking, Geordi and he are walking to go to the shuttle and he's complaining about having a hangover.
Let's
see if I can find,
don't get drunk unless you're willing to pay for it the next day.
Yeah, that's what he says. But I don't know why you can't just take a quick visit to sick bay and get that shit taken care of before you're going on an away mission. Yeah.
It's electrolytes, it's hydration, because like synthahol is the preventative thing, but there's apparently some intrinsic taste to the alcohol that actually makes synthahol not as good. But you'd think there would be a hypospray hangover cure unless they've deliberately not done that, because it would be irresponsible, because then you'd still get a ton of liver damage. Well, couldn't you just cure the liver damage? In fact, they do that in an episode.
I mean, I think I remember something like that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think there should be a hangover cure. Maybe he just didn't know about the hangover cure. He should have at least asked.
Geordi should have, and they're going to go on an away mission. So stop what you're doing before you go get everybody hurt because you have a hangover, and go visit the pretty doctor.
He's drunk driving the Janellan. Janellan? Why can I not say the name of that? The Janolan. I'm just going to call it the Magellan from now on. Okay, I've got this one has always baffled me. The plan is to wedge the shut up. Wedge the Magellan. No, I just did it again. Wedge the Janolan with the shields, and that's gonna sandwich the door open. Yeah. Here's an idea. How about you just keep ringing the doorbell?
Bing bong.
Just hailing but frequencies. The tractor beams stop. The doors close. Hail again. Open it, and just keep doing that until the Enterprise can come through.
I thought you had to be within a certain, like they had hailed from far away, and the tractor beam had worked. So this little transporter didn't have enough juice to be that far away. I think they actually talked about it in the show that they had to be close because they couldn't be far enough away to just keep pinging it.
No. They don't say that.
Okay.
Because they're 500 million kilometers away, or what, 500,000 kilometers away. And then they do it and then have to wait for it to turn off and then they move in. But they can't. I've seen this episode so many times and I don't remember them saying that they couldn't stay that far away and keep pinging.
Okay, chat says from Flyboy, Scotty speculated that saying 0.5 million kilometers. A million kilometers from the hatch will prevent the sphere's tractor beam from capturing the... Do you want to say the name of the ship?
Nolan.
Of course, he turns out to be right, but what the fuck has he based that on?
Yeah, like that's where they have to be in order to trigger it, but not get caught. But I don't think they ever say why they can't just stay there and keep buzzing it, ringing the doorbell so that the doors keep opening. And then the Enterprise just picks a slot when the doors are opening.
Because as Real Monkey points out, then we wouldn't have had the 90 degree ultra cool turn. And it's as Sarah true. Said, then what if it would make the whole thing start screaming like an elevator door when you hold it open too long? That's okay. Why.
When the chat gets ridiculous, I know I'm right. So I feel vindicated. And I apologize earlier. I said 45 degree turn. It is a 90 degree turn. I'm not good at math. I'm still excited. Ambassador, your turn.
Stealing anything that Guinan has in her own personal reserves. That's
gosh.
That was really upsetting to me. Like, Data should know better. And just because it's Scotty doesn't mean that you can go behind the bar to someone's private alcohol collection. And then Scotty just doesn't have a little bit of it. He takes the entire container.
He does. If I was sinning this and making this show when I was 10, that would be my number one sin of the episode.
Shocking.
It is so jarring to see Data just, I guess Guinan has a secret stash, and just go behind the bar, start, it's chaos. Why do you have a barkeep if you can just go round and help yourself? And yeah, I know it's because you want Data to talk to Scotty, but how about you find a way for them to interact that isn't just booze? And then he leaves 10 forward. With the entire bottle.
The whole bottle.
And what, like, it's as if the writers knew, because the punch is when Picard's just like, yeah, dickhead, guess who gave it to her? Like, it's a gift from Picard.
But he didn't
Picard.
Say that. He was like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's just down this
he
thing real quick.
He should have been so mad.
Drink with Scotty, which is fun to watch him just
it
throw
is.
Back to Scotty.
It is.
But that was also so different than the Picard that I know, who is an Earl Grey drinking.
Nah.
Maybe a Chardonnay or something.
He gets lit on the holodeck. It's like that should have been such an awkward moment where Scotty is like, I'm drinking a gift that you gifted. However, if it's a gift, what the fuck is it doing behind the bar, Guinan? Put it in your quarters. Biggest sin of the show.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Oh, my one is I can't believe that Scotty didn't leave a note anywhere explaining to anybody, by the way, don't turn us off. We're in the transporter buffer. What if you do? Don't unplug us. There are two of us. We're inside the transporter. This is what you need to do to bring us back. Because the way Riker and Geordi are like puzzling through it, I feel like a lesser crew, the Cerritos, might have just been like, I guess it's in a diagnostic. Let's just end the diagnostic and that's it. They're dead. Leave a note. Like, scribble
something.
It in the dust. Arrange the fallen bits of debris into a sign that says, in transporter, send help. Relying on a lot of intelligence to rescue yourself.
Mm-hmm. There was a beam and grab cliche in this episode that I'm noticing pops up a lot, and that's when an away team beams in somewhere, lands, and then grabs their weapons. So I'm calling it the beam and grab cliche.
I love
and
that.
It's all over the place in Star Trek, but it happens again. They beam into the shuttle, and then they kind of like looking around, and they go, they grab their weaponry and pull it out.
Yeah.
Just beam in with it there if you're going to grab it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always startled when they land. So it's not like it's not like they landed and they heard something and were startled. There was literally no one there.
Yeah, there's
nothing happening.
There's a story about that where William Shatner would, before he left, whenever he like finished transporting, he would do this chest lurch, which was like, and then get into his walk. So it was a very disjointed walk. And the reason was that was the marker for the editors to know the transporter beam needs to be gone by this point because I'm going to start walking. So in my head, I'm always like, do they do that so that the editors know, right, this has got to be the cut point for the transporter graphic, and then they can move on. But once you see it, once you see that, you can't unsee Shatner lurching whenever a transporter beam finishes. Like, he almost like launches himself off of the transporter pad multiple times. Yeah, it's definitely a sin. Mm-hmm. One of the worst times it happens is they beam down, Worf pulls out his tricorder and says the air appears to be breathable. You didn't check that before you beamed down? What?
Wasn't that in this episode?
No. Oh, it...
I feel like he said something about oxygen life support. In this episode.
Yeah. He may have been like, life support systems are functioning. I was like, you know what? Yeah. I want the episode where they beam in and they're just like... just breathing because they're suffocating. Like, didn't anybody scan that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there was something mentioned on this one too, for sure.
I, as much as Geordi is a dick to Data, wait, no. Scratch that. Never. That's never happened.
Geordi is not a dick to Data.
I'm sure he has at least once.
Okay.
As much as Geordi is a dick to Scotty.
What?
Scotty absolutely sets Geordi up towards the end of the episode when he's like, reroute the flow through the buffer. And Geordi's just like, you can't do that. It'll blow up. And then Scotty's like, what are you talking about, lad? And then Geordi says the regulation. And then Scotty quotes the regulation and the subsection that he wrote when he just said, where did you get a silly idea like that? He got it from the thing that you wrote, you dick. And you know that. And you set him up, you ass.
That's not a sin. That's funny as fuck.
No, it's hilarious. But it's almost like Geordi should have chinned him for it.
I think that there are some examples of LaForge actually being a dick to Scotty. And the one that stands out the most to me is when they're Scotty is first arrived kind of on the ship and is walking down the hallway with Geordi. And he looks over, Scotty says, is that a conduit? And he goes over to the panel on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And LaForge says, it is, and reaches up and just turns it off.
Oh, this thing that you're interested in? Beep. Let's talk about the thing I want to talk about.
He was looking at that. That was exciting to him. That's like Iris like walked in and saw a TV show. Yes. She's like, oh, is that Pokemon? It is. Click.
Oh, you mean that? Dink. That's so true. I'd never, of all the many ways Geordi is a dick, I hadn't put that one on my list, but you are correct.
That's like the most, I don't know.
Oh boy.
It looks cool because you can turn a panel off. Yeah. And it's a neat way to use a computer in the 90s.
Yep.
But no. Chat. No. This was not when he gets off of the pattern. This is not when he comes off of the beam pad and walks over. This is when they're walking down the hallway.
Yes. And the lady starts it.
Mm-hmm. And they're looking at the like the LCARS whatever screen on the side. That's the moment LCARS. He does it. And did I say it? Did I say it right?
Nerdy. Yeah, you did.
You got it right. All of this is nerdy. You know what I'm going to do when the show ends? I'm just going to record myself saying every single one of these stupid engineering words on my list.
Yes.
See we'll if I get it.
Outtakes.
Like the duotronic enhancers and isolinear chip shit.
I may not survive the entire recitation. It's going to be too much.
It's going to be too much.
My next one was this one's really nerdy. How did they beam through the Janolan shields?
Oh, you said Janolan. Congratulations.
This is because I'm talking about something very important, so there's no time for messing around. They beam Scotty and Geordi off of the Janolan, and yet you can still see the shields are in place. You can't beam through shields. And in the same breath, Picard fires, just assuming they've been beamed up. He's like, okay, beam them over. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. Fire! I was like, shit, no, there was nobody at the transporter console. You never got confirmation that they were on board. You just fired everything.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been brutal if that's how they died.
It seems like that is the rule. You're not supposed to be able to beam through the shields, as the chat pointed out about 30 minutes ago.
I do love Link's response, which is they old shields.
They old.
This is like really patchy. Old as shit, bro. What are you talking about? Them shields be battered.
They just have like holes in them. Like
holes everywhere.
How did they get through the sails of the ship? There's just big rips in the sails.
It's like jeans. Like they're more weathered now. The more holes in them, the better they are. It's fashionable to have holes in your shields.
That's right.
I had a quick one, which is just, Deanna is here. She shows up at the end of the episode by the shuttlecraft. No, I think there is a scene with Deanna and Scotty that they cut. Because one of the times me and my dad did a watch through of the Blu-ray, every episode would have like special features and it would show the cut scenes. And invariably it was 5 minutes of Deanna that was cut.
That's so sad. But like, I'm kind of glad because it feels like it would be pretty cringe.
Well, yeah. And it just would have been in that already like overly long middle section. Mm-hmm.
And it would have been him probably being like, so counselors wear tight fitting clothes these days, do they?
I see you don't have to wear uniforms, lassie.
Back in my day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something that came up in the chat quite a bit that I think we need to mention is that the Riker not knowing what a Dyson sphere is. That came up many times in chat.
I like Sarah's wording the best here. Riker doesn't know what a Dyson sphere is. Like, my brother, you work in space. It's very true. Like, I know what a Dyson sphere is, mainly because of this episode, but that's not the point. If I know, then Riker should know.
I just know what a Dyson vacuum is. And now a Dyson hair dryer and a Dyson whatever else they're releasing now.
He goes on to make this. What else did I have? I seem that like it's a bit weird that Scotty gets bored straight away. Like he's sent to his quarters 75 years in the future and he sits in the chair bored. And computer, tell me everything I missed in the last 75 years. There's so much to consume that immediately he's like, I'm bored.
Okay, but you know, to him, maybe 75 years hadn't really passed. Maybe it had only been a couple of minutes or less.
Oh, no, correct. So, he's not. Oh, Jesus. If he was aware of the passage of time, that's terrifying.
But then, like, he pops out and he doesn't even go to Star Trek's equivalent of Facebook.
Yeah, like, let me connect with people.
What happened to my old friends? And then he just sees that they're all dead.
Well, Spock is still alive. What's interesting is that he says that Kirk must have got the Enterprise out of mothballs and come to rescue me personally, because Riker says they're from the Enterprise. But in Generations, which happens in the real world after this, but in Star Trek timeline before this, it's already happened, Kirk dies on the Enterprise B and Scotty sees him because there's that big void of space. And Chekhov's like, was there anybody down here? And Scotty's like, aye, there was. And that's when Kirk gets zapped into the Nexus. So he knows that Kirk is dead at this point. So why would he say that Kirk is coming to rescue him if he knows Kirk is dead?
Because he's batshit crazy.
No one tests Scotty.
He's a fucking lunatic. Yeah. And they just gave him a shuttle and said, have fun out there.
Have fun out there, old timer. Here's a Ferrari. But I don't think it has weapons, which is the good thing. I heard he starts like a new war with the Klingons or the Romulans. I was like, now I don't know about the Klingons, but we're definitely not friends with the Romulans.
Another one that came up in chat that I think would be fun is I think Flyboy and I think Ruthie maybe pointed out that the Scotsman would have said nappies instead of diapers.
Yeah, that one's always bugged me because he's British, so he should say nappies. Yeah. But I think nappies, the 90s weren't ready for British words at that point, despite having a very English captain. Well, no, because they made him French, so they definitely weren't ready for the English.
Another one was from Sean, who said you shouldn't be able to see the curve of the sphere because it was so huge.
That's my last sin. Like, there's this great shot where the Enterprise arrives and it lasts forever so that you can get the scale of it. But then in one of the close-ups, you see a curve. Like, no, sir. Yeah. It is a solar system in size. Unless I massively misunderstood how big the Enterprise is, which I don't. It should just be a sheer plane. And I know that's less interesting to see on screen, but
yeah,
I think it would have been like, wow, that is big. Like, there's no curve whatsoever.
I think even if they would have said when they went into the sphere, look at the mountain range, or that lake is the size of 50 planets.
Yes, exactly.
Because the words that they used at the beginning to describe the magnitude and size of this thing almost felt like, well, that's just bullshit.
That's not real. 100
million kilometers, I think, is something like that.
I can't even picture that. And when they say, like, Picard's like, scan for other portals, and Data says the internal circumference is blah, 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 however million whatevers, I couldn't picture in my head how big that is. So the frame of reference isn't great. Yeah, that's great. That's something, again, yeah. It just comes back to the wasting the Dyson Sphere idea on a Scotty episode where, like, Scotty was enough. I didn't need the sphere as well. Save that for something else.
Yeah, save it. Go back to it. That's an interesting thought. I like it.
I hope we do one day. This is one that goes down in history that I think kind of gets a pass. The computer, when Scotty is asking to see the bridge of the Enterprise, the computer says there have been 5 Enterprises in history. So that would be the Enterprise, Kirk's one, the Enterprise A, after he blows up the first Enterprise, the B, C, and then the Enterprise D. So that would be the 5 as of 1994, when this episode came out. That would be the 5 Enterprise you know of. But there's the NX-01, which is Archer's Enterprise from the TV show Enterprise. And you're like, well, it would know that one. And I think the only saving grace is that the computer says Federation starships, and the Federation wasn't around yet, and maybe it's not counting the NX classes. So it gets an accidental pass, I think, in my head, but it's not intended, because I don't think they knew that Enterprise was ever going to be a thing 10 years before it was on the air. Or else I think that if they'd have put 6... I would be like, well done for including something that you maybe had in the back of your head might be a thing in the future. But I think 5 is technically right, but also technically wrong. Nerds! Nerds unite!
Yeah, I am so checked out on whatever you just said.
Totally fair. The chat's loving it.
If I was to read that in a script, I'd be like, yep, whatever.
The only way I would get that into a script is the narrator would be like, who wrote this shit? Like, he would have to acknowledge that he had no idea what was going on. But hey, you got to get starship names right. It's important. Anything else, Ambassador?
No, I want to be done.
She's
now.
Done. She wants to be done. Okay, next week's episode is a bit of a change of gears. We're going to be heading into Star Trek Voyager, Season 4, Episode 23, Living Witness. This is such a fun Voyager episode. Thank you to the person that submitted this, which will be revealed next week. Not an episode that I remember people talking about a lot, but it's, again, one of my favorites as well. It's so much fun. Thank you so much for all of your submissions so far. It is never too late. Please keep sending them, and any questions or emails that you might have, anything for the show, captainspod@cinemasins.com, or on Blue Sky is at captainspod.bluesky.social, whatever they do, or on our CinemaSins Discord, discord.gg/cinemasins. And until next week is... until next week, it's a mispronounced Janolan from me.
And as you take care of yourself out there.
Oh, live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
I'm here, and I'm on time, and I'm here. Also, I'm here. Oh, also, you can't hear me. Fuck.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can hear me. Wait, I couldn't hear you. I got that backwards. No, I can hear you now. I can hear you. What? I fixed it.
What? Are you okay?
I don't like being late, okay?
So now you're frazzled, is that right?
No. I mean, yes.
Gravimetric interference. How did you have to take a shit or something? What's going on? Are you okay?
No, I had 20 minutes to make food, eat food, and I did. And then I had like 60 seconds to get up here, but I also wanted a cup of tea. So
Listen. I will never be upset because I am regularly behind.
And it's tea.
Rematerialization subroutine not working. OS pattern buffer is in diagnostic cycle.
Ba-doing, ba-doing. Play that instrument.
I'm sure it's just terrible.
Those are the elastic bands that are holding Danae's mic.
Shut up!
Ouch! That one was loud. Let's turn you down.
Gravitational field. Something happened to me today. I'm trying to figure out if I want to tell you about it now or in the, or like later, like outtakes later.
I mean, I can just put this in the outtakes.
That's true. Yeah, I'm great. I was attacked on the toilet this morning. So, you know.
By a cat. I'm assuming. Doing
yes. Yeah. Yes. And by and attacked is more like, I think, aggressively loving.
Mm.
But I was having my personal time.
Yep.
And
aggressive biscuits on your kneecaps?
No, it was a rear attack.
A rear attack? Wait, how do you sit on the toilet?
like a regular person. But it was really strange. I feel like he set me up, this cat, because I leaned forward to pet the cat. He does a little twist around.
Okay.
Behind me, now has his hind legs on the back of the seat, puts his front paws on my shoulders, and starts making biscuits.
Oh.
Slash attack. So he is.
Yeah.
Like giving me a shoulder rub.
Yes, he while is. I'm on the toilet. Yeah. He's massaging your back to get milk out of it.
I guess. So I'm like, I got to get this cat. I would like to finish what I'm doing.
Yes, and
I
have things ideally.
I have things to do here. So I started to try to like reach back for him, which is when he started to get feisty.
Oh, playtime. Swipe.
Duotronic enhancers replaced by isolinear chips. But he was balancing. He was standing on the toilet seat behind me.
It's amazing. So you weren't actually on the toilet.
No, I was also on the toilet.
How could he be on the seat if you're also on the toilet? On the
we
seat.
Were sharing space.
I cannot picture this at all.
Do you want me to draw you a picture?
So is he stood on the cistern? The
no, toilet? He was standing on the toilet seat.
How are you perched on the, are you not all the way on the toilet seat?
I told you I had just leaned forward. So there was space behind my ass between.
Oh, like, so you leaned forward and he took that space. So if you sat back, you'd have crushed him against the back. That's insane.
I know. Warp 9. Because I've, of course, like every normal person had my smartphone with me on the toilet.
Of
I was
course,
like, is this a moment when I am taking a toilet selfie? Because I think someone else needs to see what's happening
this
here.
This is your first ever TikTok. Hello, world.
What a way to enter the world. Anyway, I'm still thinking about that this morning. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm great and cannot follow that.
Low intensity subspace signal.
Wow. Yikes. Yikes.
Oh, no.
That was amazing. That was in my ear.
Dynamic mode converter. Did I tell you guys about Thunderstorm killing another cat last week? Did I talk about that? I don't think I did.
Killing another cat?
Sorry, bird.
Okay, that changes the story a lot.
Oh, my God. Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. There we go. You put it out there now. That's on the internet. It happened.
I'm sorry. Shit. I'm sorry. Was it really
wow.
bad?
Close, but also way off.
Impulse ion trail.
It's a good way to introduce Iris to the circle of life. It really is.
It really is, and it's been difficult because. He's gone out on the back porch when there are birds nearby and she wants me to put up the bird feeder again. And I have to tell her, like, well, that's just going to be,
you know how fishing works where you put bait on the end of a line. That's what you're doing for the cat.
Impulse regulations. I remember whenever I was in martial arts and my instructor was talking to me about how, cause I was practicing with other people that were much larger than I was, biceps the size of my waist. They were just these big guys. And I had decided to do this extra class It was jiu-jitsu, which is, I think, like where you're on the ground. If I'm remembering correctly, that's the one where you're on the ground and it's more like grappling than it is about what I was learning in martial arts.
Mm.
So you start off the match and you're like, one person sat on top of you and they're holding your gi, like your little vest thing. And you have to like start off in this particular position or whatever. And the instructor pulled me aside and he said, you're probably going to have like a joint pulled out and this kind of thing. But just remember, it's not about the size. It's how precise you are. So you just have to be very intentional about where you decide to poke.
Right in the nuts, in the gooch.
I had to learn. And this was true also for my martial arts training, which was if I can only strike once, it had better be at a part that's going to cripple someone.
Yeah, so, make it count.
Bypassing a second valve and boosting a flow.
Have you ever like done the two fingers up in the armpit thing? Like, it doesn't matter how big you are. That will paralyze you. Just.
Okay. Did you do it to yourself or?
No, it's not. It's like you can't tickle yourself, really. You can a little bit, but I'm sure it's
not tickling. I'm talking about whether or not you jabbed your fingers into your armpit and made it hurt.
Yeah. But I'm saying it's like being unable to tickle yourself. I know the attack was coming, so I was ready to disarm myself when I did it.
Did you do all of that just for the disarm joke?
Oh, I didn't. Oh. I should have done. Shit. Fuck.
You could have said yes. This is an R-rated show. Souring reactor power milk? You know, like the amount of time it takes for them to beam in? It takes so long for that shuttle door to close. Just
just keep waving. Keep waving. Keep waving.
Warp 9. Oh man, Scotty's dying versus Moopsie for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Unless he annoys Moopsie to death.
Moopsie doesn't get annoyed. Moopsie's hungry for bones.
Yeah, hungry for everything. That's it.
Moopsie versus Dyson Sphere, though. I mean, I don't know how that would work because Moopsie would have to get inside the Dyson Sphere and then there would need to be bones.
I think he would just happily live in there.
Yeah. I think Moopsie would somehow survive. There must be animals there to eat and consume.
Maybe they all died. Braves. I don't know how long it's been abandoned.
Yeah, but he likes bones. I don't think it needs to be fresh bones.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
I guess maybe it needs to have marrow on the inside, but we've never been told specifically, so we don't know.
We don't know.
Gravitational field.
Sorry, Danae. I thought you may get a little bit of enjoyment out of that. But
I did technically get a little bit of enjoyment out of it. It was just it was one of those where I would not watch that one because I would want to watch something that had like excitement. But you know what? Last week had really, really exciting stuff happen last week. We had a fun episode. And like I'm not gonna like them all. That's just
no. But that's part of the
if I did, you guys would know that I was faking it.
Well, yeah, and it's part of the theme as well. Like so this is gonna be the most personal Star Trek that we get into.
Synthaholic. I don't think that was engineering speak, but it's in there.
So I mentioned that like TNG wasn't allowed to mention like TOS or Kirk. This was especially like in the early days. Spock does appear in two episodes and another by name, I think. Sarek appears in an episode or two and Bones appears in one. But generally, and all of those are like season 5 onwards. Like pretty much all of that is post Gene Roddenberry passing away, I think. So in the early days, it was much more like you can't mention TOS because you got to be your own thing.
Well, that makes sense for the beginning. But once you're 6 seasons in, I think it would make sense to sort of have a little bit of fun. Maybe I didn't take as many engineering notes as I thought.